tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans! Welcome to another edition of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show from AfterBuzz TV. How are we all feeling tonight?
Ah, man, super confused.
Suits confused.
Yeah. But I love that I'm getting inundated with Marvel everything since the weekend, because we all...
Yes.
Age of Ultron. It was a very Marvel-oriented weekend. Before we get started, if you guys haven't already done so, please subscribe to AfterBuzz TV on YouTube and iTunes. Rate, leave a comment. We love hearing from you guys, and we will be keeping an eye. Not only do we have a live chat on YouTube, because we're streaming live, but we're also going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag ABTVShield on Twitter, or you could tweet at us directly. Let me introduce my fantastic panel and their Twitter handles. Jesse Klein.
Hi, everyone. You can find me at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one.
Zach Wilson.
You guys can tweet at me at ThatZachWilson. ThatZachWilson.
Joyce Ajuri.
And you guys can tweet me at JAJOURI.
And I'm Megan Salinas. You can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN. Okay, guys, we are going to go ahead and take a couple minutes here at the top of the show. It's just going to be really quick because we don't have time to go into a full review. But since the episode actually didn't really touch on it too much, but it takes place in the wake of Age of Ultron, we're going to take a couple minutes to just give our thoughts on the film. So, guys, Age of Ultron. That was a thing that happened. Wow.
I mean, it was so much fun. I had to see it twice, but I haven't even seen it the most times on this panel.
I saw it three times this weekend.
Yeah.
It was, for me, I liked the first one more, only because it was more self-contained.
Mm-hmm. This one definitely felt like a chapter leading up to Phase 3.
Yeah.
And that is a plus and a minus, unfortunately.
Like, it was kind of filler, dare I say.
Empire Strikes Back is the best movie of the trilogy. Second one is...
Yeah, you can do a second one that can be the best. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's really hard. Back to the Future 2.
See, I think...
Yeah!
I think this one... I like this one better than Avengers 1. I thought Avengers 1 was a lot of fluff with very little content, and I thought this was a lot of content with a little bit of fluff, i.e. the Hulkbuster fight didn't really need to be there, but, I mean, it needed to be there, because we needed it for our hearts.
Personally? Go ahead.
No, it's okay.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I needed more James Spader. Holy cow!
Yeah, he was great.
Watching this movie, there was not nearly enough Ultron, because every time he talked, I was just 100% enthralled with what was going on.
He was mesmerizing.
Yeah. I want to watch The Blacklist now. I haven't watched a single episode of The Blacklist.
I didn't expect Ultron to be hilarious, and he was hilarious.
He was great.
But it worked too, because they took the concept that in the books is all about, because it's Hank Pym in the place, mapping his brain onto Ultron, so Ultron behaves like Pym.
So
but
it makes
in this
sense.
Case, it's Ultron is a map of Tony Stark. So of course he's going to behave like Tony Stark.
It
worked really well. My main issue with it, because I loved it. I was having so much fun doing it. The main thing I had is it is a second act, and because of that, the characters in it didn't really have, most of them did not really have arcs.
Yeah.
Black Widow had a little bit of an arc. Scarlet Witch had the biggest arc of any character.
For sure.
But everyone else sort of, at least as I saw it, started and sort of ended in more or less the same place.
See, I thought Tony had a huge arc throughout the entire thing.
But also, we were talking about it before we watched tonight's episode, and I kind of agree with you when you were saying, like, it didn't feel like Tony Stark, for example, really ended or quit or seemed like he did anything. So I do kind of feel like things were kind of left and frayed.
At the end of the movie,
not complete.
At the end of the movie, he says, "I'm leaving, and I don't know where I'm going."
Like, I wouldn't suspect that it would necessarily mean that he would be leaving.
He wasn't hanging up his
as an Avenger
his armor.
Yeah.
So it didn't like feel like he was. He was more like, I'm gonna go take a, like, it's, it was, to me, it's, it read more, I'm gonna take a vacation.
Yeah. I think what it is it's setting up that this new Avengers team is going to get wrecked by Thanos. Spoilers. But not really. They've been setting them up forever. That the new Avengers team is gonna get wrecked by Thanos, and then they're gonna have to call in Hulk and Tony and Thor,
yes,
who've all left and hung up their Avenger capes.
Yeah. I think they put Hulk on like a mystery plane because they didn't want him around for Civil War.
Yeah, exactly.
Because whoever, it's convenient enough for him to be able to come back for something.
Yeah, yeah, it's an open-ended thing. Again, I needed more Ultron. All in all, I thought this film was good. Not necessarily great, and if we had more time, I would go into it. But yeah, all in all, I still think Winter Soldier was the superior film.
Yes.
But this was fun. Definitely flawed, and we'll get to it when we get to the end of the show for news and gossip. It seemed like there was a lot of creative differences with this film, and mm-hmm, I think that's where a lot of the problems stem from.
Yeah, and that's where I build my opinion from, too. I mean, we talked about it before. I felt like it was a little choppy, and we will talk about that later. I did like the first Avengers movie much better than this one.
I disagree.
I thought
the first Avengers movie was like a C, and I thought this was like a B+.
Point being, we all enjoyed Age of Ultron.
Yeah. It was
very
so entertaining.
But we enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.
Issue I had, and will get us into this episode.
Yeah, sure.
Because it almost, like, made this issue bigger for me, and it's a really dumb issue.
No, go right ahead.
With the reveal that Theta Protocol is the Helicarrier. Why were none of our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. characters in Ultron? Other than, unless you, I don't include Maria Hill in that, because she's I consider her a movie character who has been lent to the show.
Yeah, because TV actors are different than movie actors.
But, like, hard would it be to have, like, one person, like, to have Bobby or Hunter.
Definitely not Coulson. But Coulson.
I get, and Joss Whedon said he didn't want Coulson even mentioned in the movie, and that totally makes sense.
We talked
it's a
about that last week. Yeah.
But like, how hard would it be to have like one of them on the bridge, like running it, or just like Bobby, just like shepherding people onto the lifeboats?
I guess the idea was that everybody who was on Coulson's team was left in the dark when it came to Theta Protocol.
Yeah.
But anything, any little tidbit would have been great, because it was so great to watch last week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then watch the beginning of this movie, because it flowed almost seamlessly.
Yeah.
And then to just have the rest of the movie pretend like S.H.I.E.L.D., the TV show, didn't matter. That
upsets me. 1-2 Patton Oswalds could have been on that helicarrier.
That would have been fantastic.
With that, we've almost talked about it for 10 minutes now. Let's move on to the actual episode. Let's talk about Patton Oswalt. We've been wondering where he's been, and
we
this was a flashback.
Yeah.
This opening scene was a flashback, so we still don't know where Billy and Sam are at the moment.
And they have a sister.
Yeah, their mysterious twin sister, probably.
What? Also, I have qualms with the fact that they were playing Call of Duty. Can they have picked a better game?
Please fan cast Rebel Wilson as their sister.
Lord. Actually, that, just speaking of stuff fans do, I actually did write down a few of my favorite fake spoilers from last week. We asked for fake Age of Ultron spoilers. I'm going to read those off real quick. Jason wrote, Black Widow picks up Thor's hammer.
Oh.
That actually happened in the comics once. Mm. JQuill116, I was not expecting to for Ultron to kill Dumbledore like that. That may be my favorite. JMo, Grant turns into the Michael Bay Super Shredder.
Sure.
That I would watch that. And then at NARQ89, Ultron wins, phase 3 canceled.
Nice. Great.
And that is the only other Marvel movie you get.
I like that one.
Yeah.
I like that one a lot.
Okay, moving on. Sorry, I just had to share that.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, Patton Oswalt, the more episodes he can be in,
yeah,
the better.
His character's so fun.
He's at Star Wars Sheets.
He's picking all these robot themed things. The song was robot themed. Yeah.
And his different colored badges and lanyards.
Oh, they're so funny. It makes, as great as it is to see him, though, it just makes me go, where are you? Why aren't you in the show on a consistent basis?
Yeah.
He's, busy being on Veep and, a million other things.
I know, him here.
He's in deep cover.
Shield needs to save the world.
All right, but now that we do know that Theta Protocol was the helicarrier, and we seem to have a reunited Shield in the wake of everything that went on in Sokovia, Shield, as it was, real Shield and actual real Shield, have now come back together. And I think it's interesting that they have, and that Coulson is willing to acquiesce to what the group wants now. That, to me, is confusing, given how the last episode ended. Because, he and Maria Hill were scoffing at the idea of putting things to a vote.
Well, I think later on, Coulson kind of lays it out where it's, if he was to just take over as director, then there would not be a peaceful joining of the two Shields. And if S.H.I.E.L.D. remains divided like this, then the enemies of S.H.I.E.L.D. will win. So he finds kind of a happy medium, a compromise for them, where he is the director, but he still will respond to the group that they have, this council or whatever, that he'll still put things to vote and stuff like that.
And he's big enough to understand that this is how Gonzalez will operate. This is how he'll get Gonzalez to comply with him or let him have the freedom that he wants, or some of the freedom to sort of run things.
As he said, how great, a helicarrier and an underground base.
Yeah. That's true. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And it's fair. It makes sense. He even compares himself to Nick Fury. Nick Fury did not have unilateral control.
Yeah.
Although he was doing plenty of stuff.
Clandestinely. But that's true. Even Fury had a board of directors to kind of lean on and counsel him and occasionally bully him.
And you got it. But the thing is, I think they need to, basically what they're going to have to work out at a future date, because it's real complicated. It's all that little fine print. The council doesn't get insight into every piece. You can't have that for this first spy agency. Again, this has been the big issue with the people have problems with the secrecy within a spy agency.
Yeah.
No, the director needs to have certain things on secret lockdown, because you don't want the world to know about the helicarrier being hidden away. You needed that back pocket Theta Protocol, because exactly why we just saw that you needed it.
Yeah.
You needed it secretive and quiet for just the right moment.
Why can't they just understand?
Well, what's interesting, too, is that Nick Fury himself isn't taking control of S.H.I.E.L.D. again. He's still left it to Coulson's discretion, I think because he's working more with the new Avengers facility. But it is interesting that, again, S.H.I.E.L.D. is still being left to Coulson.
Well, with Winter Soldier out there and also Black Widow working, it kind of sets up for possibly a secret Avengers team, which is kind of what happened in the comic books, where Fury stepped down and he's like, oh, he's gone. But he was actually working with a secret Avengers team while there was a figurehead in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Coulson was on that team at one point.
Was Coulson part of the secret Avengers?
I think in the last, the beginning of the last run, I think they had him running around. Awesome. Like, out.
That's awesome.
But what's interesting about S.H.I.E.L.D. in its current state is that there's still that air of uneasiness. Everybody is still walking around not entirely sure who they can trust. There's still a lot of hurt feelings. Max straight up quit. He went up to Coulson and basically said, I think you're a good guy and I like you, but if you're the director, I have a problem with that. Here's my badge.
I have a theory for who Mac might turn out to be from the comic books.
Who?
In Avengers Initiative, there is a teacher/drill instructor whose name is Gauntlet, and he got attacked by a piece of alien technology that gave him this big alien gauntlet that lets him project a giant hand and a fist. But he's technically proficient. He's from the military. He's a military man.
Interesting.
And it would be interesting if they're going to do an Avengers Initiative to have him go.
Avengers Initiative.
It's like, the same as Avengers Academy.
Okay,
It's after Civil War. The government decides to gather up all the superhuman people and register them. And then put them on trained teams as if they were Avengers police, basically. And
each state gets their own Avengers team. That could be interesting. I mean, Mac is a good character.
Yeah.
This scene for me was a little bit like
out of nowhere.
Like his dial just like went from 0 to 60 all of a sudden.
Yeah.
The reasoning I think that's going on here is that Mac like was like totally cool with everything when he thought Coulson was going to be taken down and like he's going to have to step back and like not be in charge anymore.
Hmm.
But he is being supervised now, so you'd think that he'd be
a little bit more all right with everything, especially since a lot of his friends are still there.
I was going to say, if you would think that Bobby or May would be enough to convince him to sort of
or
stick
Hunter.
Around.
Or Hunter, yeah. Exactly. On good terms
they
now.
They just sort of mended their friendship. So, what would really, really compel him to just get up and go?
Plus, Mac is saying, like, I had an alien technology infused in me, and I saw what it could do. Maybe you shouldn't have been doing anything after that point if you think that that's going to be a problem.
It seems a little hypocritical.
Yeah. That's,
like,
why I think
Mac.
That's why I think he might be Gauntlet, because he has this trouble with alien technology.
I love Gauntlets.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a cool name.
You're going to have to give him a new name, because with Infinity coming up,
it's going to get real confusing. Yeah, for sure.
Because Quake will have Gauntlets. Yeah. He'll be Gauntlet.
They'll just call him Armored Glove.
Will be wearing a Gauntlet.
It's just confusing.
Just shorten it to Glove.
A glove. Hello, my name is Glove.
Anywho.
That could go very wrong.
But Mittens,
the enemy of all mankind.
It sounds like a kitten name. Anyway, no, you keep those away. But with all of these other, and another relationship that's really strained is May's relationship with Coulson. Because he tries to make it up to her by apologizing at length, but now he knows the truth of what happened in Bahrain, thanks to Skye. And that was something that we were kind of debating a little bit a couple weeks ago when we got May's backstory, was whether or not Coulson had gotten the full story of what had happened there. And if he knew that May was the one that put the little girl down, he knows it now. He didn't know it then.
Yeah, that was a really good scene. That might have been my favorite scene of the show, was that kind of Coulson-May kind of measuring their relationship and realizing that right now they're in a place where it's irreparable.
And the more
irreparable.
The more they find out about each other, the more they come apart.
Yeah, and it's kind of bothersome, because like they were so close.
Mm-hmm.
They were so close, and it's hurting to see them kind of pull each other apart. Like I'm waiting for a moment where their trust builds back.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen one yet, and I'm hoping for one.
Yeah, I never thought I would have seen anything in this show where the trust between the two of them crumbled completely.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at, and that surprises me, and it's hard to watch.
You know what was hard to watch this episode, too, was seeing Coulson sort of take everyone's opinions about him in stride.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he has a mission, and he's focused, and he needs to think about the mission at hand, but when Mac walked out, he was like, well, I'm sad to see you go. And then when May, you know, is acting this way towards him, he's just kind of like,
he deals with it. And
he deals with it.
And then the entire council tells him that he's too emotionally compromised to be the one to represent
like,
S.H.I.E.L.D.
I would expect him to be more insisting on the fact that he's confident in his mind and that he's confident that he's in control, but all he's saying is like, I'm in control, like, believe me, you know, that's it.
I mean,
there's no more to that, and I would expect more of that from Coulson.
This felt like Coulson classic. Like
this
is like the Coulson that we got in the movies early on. Like his character sort of evolved a little bit. It wasn't unnatural. It fit with his journey.
Yeah.
But this feels like that. Very confident in everything that he does.
Like unapologetic.
A little aloof.
a little, like, it's almost like he's presenting himself as aloof, yeah. but, like, you know, you can just tell that he, like, he has it all, like, yeah. he has a plan for it all.
So everyone around him is changing, he's just going back to what he used to be.
Yeah.
Like, that in the first Iron Man, like, when he shows up and he's like, he's, like, just asking for a meeting real yeah. politely, but, like, you know that he has, like, crazy stuff to do.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it turns out, I mean, at the time, we were like, what are you doing, Council? Gonzalez can't represent S.H.I.E.L.D. And it turned out that was the right move. Like,
I mean,
it turned out that he represented S.H.I.E.L.D. the exact way we wanted him to, and there
and
was...
And that ended up completely...
And if
Coulson, the opposite way
if Coulson had gone, then Shying would have killed Coulson. Like, if,
although that actually is debatable because he has the GH 325.
Yeah, he wouldn't have been disintegrated by the crystal.
Well, that's purely speculation.
Yeah,
but she tried to kill. She would have tried to kill him.
Yeah.
That is the long and short. She did kill Gonzalez.
Well,
she would have done the
same
thing.
Would she have tried to kill Coulson because? Skye's the one that told her that Coulson was like her family. So would
yeah.
she do that to Skye?
I think she.
I think that was still the plan.
We saw her getting the blue Terrigen or Terrigen crystal.
Yeah,
as a just in case.
Like, I think that was the. I think that was the plan from the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. She was getting ready to kill him. Whether the GH formula would have protected him is up in the air.
Yeah, that's up for debate. It's possible he would have been spared, but it still would have been an attempt on his life. And we actually have a comment in on Twitter from Charlie Barajas. Who would have thought that Racist Simmons and Reyna would be right in the same episode?
Yeah, I know.
And they were.
Yeah.
Afterlife was not to be trusted, and Reyna was absolutely right. Letting Jia Ying be the one to represent, to meet with the head of S.H.I.E.L.D., that is going
it's
to cause a
the
war.
I mean, the entire episode, we were sitting there watching, going like, what's everyone doing?
Yeah,
I was convinced this was like a super flat episode.
Yeah,
like,
same here.
Looking back at it, like, Gonzalez's journey, it totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't sudden, it wasn't unnatural. At the top of the episode, we see him, like, totally side with Coulson, where
yeah.
he's like, you know, 2 days ago, I would have like thrown you in stocks for
yeah.
Theta Protocol, but we just saw that it was effective.
Yeah.
So I can't really say anything.
Yeah, if it wasn't for Theta Protocol, thousands of more people would have died.
And,
yeah,
and also just subtle things like in the flashback, like Coulson asks about Gonzalez's ship, like he's worried about like. Like, we didn't know if Coulson was just kind of giving lip service to being like, I searched for you the entire time after we couldn't find you. And, like, we find out that Coulson did care
yeah,
about where these
was.
People were. And, like, so again, it's like, oh, that's right. Like, even though they kind of hate each other, they're both S.H.I.E.L.D. agents.
Yeah, no.
And, like, unless
they respect
you're,
each other.
Unless you're a Hydra agent, then S.H.I.E.L.D. is, like, very close and, like, will do what they need to do in order to work together.
And I think Gonzalez also saw that, like, Coulson in that meeting, like, he was like, this is a level-headed person.
Yeah.
This is a person who is truly, he really is doing everything he can to make this better. Like, I want one S.H.I.E.L.D. I can have oversight. Like,
mm-hmm.
that's cool. That's totally fine,
so
bro.
He's the only one out of all of them who really thought Coulson had it together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, as David Stryker put it, vintage Coulson.
Vintage Coulson.
Which is so perfect.
It's so perfect,
like,
for him.
This is
yeah.
a good year for Coulson.
Speaking of vintage, do you guys think Lola is gone with the ship?
No,
no,
absolutely
not.
They would have. They knew. Although that was a nice moment for May, going, I miss my plane. And
yeah.
Coulson
yeah.
going, yeah, but a lot of bad stuff happened
yeah.
on it, come
if
to
you,
think of it.
If
they probably would have mentioned Lola.
Lots of more bad memories on that plane than
yeah.
good.
That's true. It's. I mean, it's sad to see the bus go. RIP bus, but maybe they can get a new bus and create
yeah.
new, better memories. Ones that don't involve Nazis.
We did see Fitz playing with the little mini
yeah.
toy
yeah.
Lola on his desk.
And that is a plus side. I do want to bring up really quick before we go into iTunes, but I do want to bring up really quick that Fitz and Simmons, it was so nice to see. They were a very small part of this week's episode, but I feel so much better about where their relationship is and where their relationship is with everybody else on their team. It feels like it's almost back together.
Fitz and Simmons' exposition is the most adorable exposition. Like, it's just
they
like
do it so well.
Like it's just like the hula girl. Yeah.
It's just like them summing up what's happening in the episode so that everyone can stay caught up.
Yeah.
But it's still like adorable little jokes to each other.
And they're super in sync. They're you're right, Megan. They're back. They're back to normal.
Except we do see that Simmons is like, I did try and kill.
Yeah. And she would do it again if she could.
And that's good. Yeah, that's good given where we are at the end of this episode.
As we see what happens at the end of this episode, it might have been a good. It might have been nice if she.
So now Gemma's gonna feel like she should take the blame for what's happening to Bobby right now.
Absolutely, she says that it's actually excellent foreshadowing. She goes, "The next horrible thing he does is on me."
Yeah,
because she failed to kill him. Which, wow. That, again, great setup and great execution.
Which could totally bring her and Fitz's relationship sort of backwards. If she falls into this sort of pit of despair,
revenge!
I guess. Or be revengeful, I don't know.
Well, we've still got a ton of talk about. Well, we'll talk about Ward and Grant. Grant Ward and 33 and all those other guys and Raina and Gordo. First, I want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you so, so much for everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate and leave a comment. It lets the people who run AfterBuzz know that you love the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast. And guess what, people? We, as of today, have 403 ratings.
What?
We made it to over 400.
Which means
next week for the season finale, we will be coming in cosplay.
Oh, God.
We don't have costumes prepared, which.
Nope.
So we are open to suggestions if you guys have any suggestions as to
what
you think.
Can we just Disney bound as Marvel characters?
You know what? Her universe has a line. Maybe I'll go buy myself one of those Captain America dresses.
I'll do it if you do.
I'll just get a mask for this hoodie.
I want to do a couple shout outs real quick on iTunes.
So jealous.
Awesome podcast from Pollard. Carlard N. Favorite podcast from Papa Glock. Amazing, knowledgeable panel by Crimson Warlock. Love it from Random Letters HDHSHS. Agents of Cosplay by Roaring Rhodes, who says, love the podcast and love this show. Loving the Show by LV Fortuna. Love You So Much by MegaKid0202.
Mega
great show and a wealth of Marvel knowledge by Level 7 Llama. That's a great one. Amazing show by JillyBean729. And then I have to scroll all the way back up because iTunes on the mobile app is really weird.
Sure. While you're scrolling, I'd just like to say, like, all of the YouTube and iTunes comments, like, hearing, like, the people around the world who are listening to our show is fantastic. We got contacted by a guy from Egypt, someone from Germany. I know we have a lot of Canadian fans.
Brazil.
Fans in Great Britain and Brazil.
We got fans in Wakanda.
Yeah, we got fans in Wakanda. We've got fans in the Savage Land.
In Sokovia?
They're in Sokovia having a little trouble streaming live right now.
I hear
something
Wi-Fi
about
is
fictional
down.
Wi-Fi?
But, like, it's so cool to hear, like, all of our international audience. I know we have someone from Japan, too. Like, that's so cool to hear. So if you're an international person, shout us out.
We love hearing from you guys. And it blows my mind the fact that AfterBuzz has such a worldwide audience. And that you guys enjoy watching this show. Because we're just four nerds who like to sit around talking about TV shows. So it honestly blows our mind to hear that we're reaching people in Egypt and Japan and all over the world.
Nerds around the world.
No, it really does. It touches my heart. Great Host by HCP Music. What's in the Hold by Bad Wolf Bay 10. We will get to that tonight. Well, we didn't really.
Kind of.
Awesome Podcast by G. Pietzanitz. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. 400 by Dante apostrophe. Dante says, I like it. #no spoilers. Amazing podcast by Kings and Shadows. Great AfterBuzz. Did I submit this before? Shows. By SL Craven. I don't know, but thank you for commenting anyway. Great show by HBK Extreme. Best podcast by Raina the Hedgehog. My favorite after show by Macarena. Nice. Greatest review of the show I've ever seen by Coolio39292732. Love this podcast. By, wow, we have so many comments this week. By Crimson32. One of my favorite casts Crimson. To listen to by KJLS213. Love the show by PaulRawl45. Great show by The Letter T. Best podcast ever by CupMatt27. Let's be perfectly clear, and then they go into a great thing, which thank you, J-I-H-I no Kokoro.
Yeah,
hi. Speaking of our Japanese friends, show of Gleek Friends by Battle Girl Deb.
Gleek.
Fun show by Bramton 1. Great episodes by Princess Heather 2. Great show has always made my day by Kitten Cole 25. Great review by Orlando Williams. Great show.
Just his name.
I know. By Mark Lessie. Awesome. Great. Awesome show by JFred90. Love this panel by Hey Mundy.
Hey, Mundy.
Thank you so, so much, guys. That's it. Wow.
Yeah,
thank you. I am blown away. And guys,
and
for
in
next
the chat
week,
role, yeah, well, I just wanted to give some shout outs in the chat because, like, we thought we were international before.
Yeah.
We've got, Neural from Malaysia.
What?
Omar from South America.
Oh my goodness.
Claudia from Australia is listening in.
What?
Born Guy from Canada. Adriana from Brazil. Omar from Peru. I don't know if I said that one already. Oslo from Latveria, apparently.
Oh my goodness.
I am afraid of you, Oslo. Please be nice
Clovis
to me.
Are you a Doombot?
You guys are
amazing. Are you a Doombot listening to our show?
But all you people all around the world,
yeah.
We have some cool stuff.
Yeah, we also got an email from TK949. They sent an email to the AfterBuzz email since they couldn't post on iTunes. Just wanted to say that they came in from Marvel Movie News to Agent Carter, then to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So thank you so much, TK949. We really appreciate hearing
thank
from you.
You guys who are tuned in, if you want to win some stuff,
yeah,
then we all stay like winning some stuff. I was lucky enough to see Age of Ultron at the El Capitan Theater, Disney's theater here in Los Angeles, and I picked up this exclusive variant of an Avengers book. The Avengers Operation
it's so
Hydra.
Cool.
You can only get this variant cover at the El Capitan during the Age of Ultron screenings, and we're going to give it away to you guys. If you go onto iTunes, leave us a review. In your review, we want you to fan cast the four of us into the MCU. I want to know what ridiculous roles you think that Joyce, me, Jesse, and Megan would fill in the MCU.
Oh, Lord.
And we will pick out our favorite. But wait, there's more.
There's more.
Because I also got this fantastic little toy. It is Adorbs Ultra.
He's so cute.
It is the cutest deadly Ultron you will ever see.
He's and making the cutest little smiley face.
There are no strings on him.
There
he's just
none.
Adorbs.
It's just a little vinyl like Funko toy. And we're going to give it away to someone in the live chat next week. So make sure that you're on. Go on to youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV. We'll be here recapping live. And you will throw out, a trivia question or something along those lines during the broadcast. So brush up on your Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. history, guys.
Start it now.
And
Pop quiz.
Then someone in the chat role, you should be, you'll need to give us your Twitter handle because that's the best way for us to get in touch with you. So
same with the comic book contest.
Yes.
Please include your Twitter handle in the iTunes review that you leave.
And you'll have to be following all four of us on
Twitter.
And AfterBuzz TV. And we will check. Don't think we won't
because we do our homework.
I won't check.
But guys, thank you again so, so much. We would not be here if it weren't for you guys and your support. So thank you so, so much. We don't get paid to be here. We just love talking about the show. So we love talking with you guys as well. Thank you so, so much. All right. Let's talk about What do you guys want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about Reyna, or do you want to talk about Ward?
I mean, we should probably
get
into Reyna.
What's under the?
Let's talk about what's in the
so Reyna.
Let's do that. Reyna.
That crazy liquid Terminator obelisk thing.
I thought it could be like a weird symbiote like technology.
Yeah, this is the like anyone who's looking for like comic book insight knowledge. Jesse and I looked at each other during this broadcast.
I have no idea what this is.
I just went. I don't know. I don't have any idea what that thing is.
I love Cosmic Marvel, and I've read a lot of Cosmic Marvel books, so I know a lot about Kree and Kree technology, and I can't place that thing.
Looks like
at all.
It's an original weapon.
One person was saying, and I apologize, I lost your nut, that maybe there's an Infinity Stone in it that would maybe make it like an anti. I'm adding to you this at this point.
Yeah.
If it's an Infinity Stone, what if it is? It functions to reverse the Terrigen.
Okay. Mist.
Like it acts because like, that's
it's
a key.
It's a keyhole where all the like obelisks.
Well, whatever it is, the people at Afterlife are worried that it has the potential to wipe out their way of life.
Yeah.
So it's entirely possible that it is something to neutralize the effects of the Terrigen Mist.
Yeah.
That would make sense. Why it turns into liquid and then reforms in different shapes, I don't know.
Just to terrify us? I think that might be it.
The little inserts do switch after it collapses and comes back.
I don't know. It looks like something.
I was like, is it Braille? Could it be a message?
Like, that was the scariest moment.
I think when it turned to liquid, we were all like, what?
My brain jumped to Graviton because it just had a similar look to the design of the Gravitonium.
But
this is a Kree artifact.
Yeah.
So it's been on Earth, it's been buried for years. I have no idea. I have no earthly idea.
It just reminded me of that moment in The Shining
with the
liquid
the elevator,
going through.
Yeah.
Now, like,
for me, it looks like this is something where you would stick your head through a Stargate, and that would be something that's staring at you.
I think its function is to somehow either negate everything that is the Inhumans, so like to take away all their powers, or to simply just kill them.
Does it absorb? Would it absorb their powers, you think? And just kind of store them? And the only way they can release it is if they have, like, all the obelisks?
I don't know. It's also just entirely possible that this thing could kill Inhumans.
Yeah.
But that's also possible.
It's like the Terrigen Mist. Like, well, in the... This is the difference between, I guess, the show and the books.
World. Yeah.
In the comics, the Terrigen Mist doesn't kill humans.
No.
It just, like, goes by them, and they're like, that was a weird green mist.
Yeah.
And then it cocoons and it growth spurts powers in the Inhumans. I wonder if it would function similarly, where it just, like, spreads across the globe once activated and just wipes out. Yeah, anyone of inhuman ancestry just dies on the spot.
That would make sense, considering it was something that was sent by the Kree, and when they start talking about it, they're talking about how the Kree turned on them and wanted to kill them. So that would make sense.
Or possibly the opposite, where at the end of, like, before we get into Inhumans, it sweeps over the world, and I think that one way they would say that it would end their way of life is if it turned all of the Inhumans and activated their powers all at the exact same time.
Without anybody being chosen.
Yeah, that would end their secrecy and end all of this work that they've done to kind of like control their powers. If it just swept across the world in one move, then...
And changed the life of a teenager in New Jersey
forever. Yeah, exactly. And some teenager in New Jersey with stretchy powers.
All right.
Anyway, we need to move on. We're running low on time. Let's talk about Reyna and Gordo. Good old Gordo. Because we see Reyna throughout this episode looking like she's up to her old tricks, like she's being very manipulative. And even halfway through the episode, we're like, don't listen to her, Gordon. She's manipulating you. Like this is so transparent, is the way that Cal put it.
Yeah.
And maybe it's true. Maybe part of what she's doing is 100% selfish, and very self-absorbed. But on the other hand, she was right.
Yeah.
Well, this is one of those things where it was like the entire episode, I was like, this is kind of like easy writing. Like, it's just like, oh, what a setup for a betrayal. And then when it turns out that they're not believing in what Raina's saying, and it feels like a win, but it is a false win for us, because then we find out that Jia Ying actually wants to go to war, and we're like, oh my god, our win wasn't a real win, it was a loss.
Because we're all like, Raina's been there for 5 minutes, and like, Gordo, you can't trust her.
Exactly.
And it doesn't, but at the end of it, like, she... Basically, Raina is seeing that she was being honest. She saw the only reason that we didn't trust her was because she basically presented something terrible, something true, and then like looked at it and was like, okay, this is going to be real bad. How can I also make this beneficial for me at the same time? So it's not fully evil. It's just self. It's as Cal puts it, it's selfish.
She has delusions of grandeur.
That's true. But I think Gordon not necessarily trusted her, but wanted to believe her. I mean, he was the first person to realize her power. He kind of, you know, was the person to talk to her and sort of mentor her in a way and be like, look, you are beautiful. He's sort of trying to build her up and make her believe that she isn't the monster that she thinks she is.
So he has that attachment. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I would understand why he would want to stand by her side and believe her and trust her.
It's a personal failure for him if she is manipulating them.
And then it turns out that Jia Ying just wants some war.
That girl is evil.
Well, I don't know. She's not evil.
She's
it's
not.
Just, she's
well,
just,
that was
she's
a nice
just,
little twist.
Yeah,
she's
no, that
just
was
had
a great
such
twist.
Negative experiences with people wanting to know about Inhumans, that she, of course, wants to kill. Like, of course, she's like, I'm not going to be put on a list.
It's not just that. She says, you know, from a historical standpoint, that every generation falls into this trap of, let's just keep a catalog of certain types of people for safety's sake. And guess what? That's a really messed up thing to do. And she is 100% right. We here in America have a history of doing that because we were jerks and stuff.
I mean, it's a tricky situation. I mean, they're getting to the bones of like what has always been the issue in especially like the X-Men universe and what's in their
fear.
And now in the MCU, the Inhumans. But it's it's fear, but there's also a realism about it, and that S.H.I.E.L.D. is created to track threats. And like, look,
surprisingly, Gonzalez made a really good point and presented it in a really understandable way.
Yeah, we just want to keep track of everyone because when someone bad does happen, we need to be able to respond.
And the problem is when people start deciding things are bad before they happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean that's
what Captain America had a problem with.
And that's the thing, is like it's the option of being in a safe world or a moral world. And safe isn't necessarily the best option.
Yeah.
No.
Like, sometimes you have to be in a bit of danger. Exactly. Sometimes
peace in our time.
Sometimes you have to be in a bit of danger in order to do the right thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Peace in my time.
And that's the thing, is like, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s down one of their best agents. Is because Bobby is out of the picture. She swept off the chessboard.
Yeah,
that's
no,
bizarre.
And this was a great setup too, because early on we see Kara getting moved away. You know, after being told that there's some gaps in her memory, but that her mind is now her own. You know, she's being locked away regardless of this fact. And it turns out that was probably a good decision because turns out she was still working with Ward.
Yeah.
He didn't abandon her. It was all part of their plan to give her closure. And I think what we can take from this is that Bobby was one of the people responsible for turning her over to Hydra in the first place,
or at least
part of her cover.
Programming. Like, was in the room while she was being programmed.
Yeah, she may have,
didn't do anything.
Been in the room. Yeah,
pretended
because,
to be her friend and to be comforting.
Just to see if she remembered. And I'll be honest, there was a scene together with the two of them, I don't remember it because it was a while back. But, that definitely Kara now has a bone to pick with Bobby. And they did a really good job setting this up because you think that May and Bobby are on the plane together.
Yeah.
And then you see May on the other plane escorting everybody else to Afterlife. And we're like, wait a minute, how is that? And then it only sinks in a little too late, yeah. Going, oh, okay, that's what they did. I see what you did there, show.
That was the only, like, twist that I picked up on the entire thing. I thought there was something weird about maybe, and, like, yeah, Coulson wants us to go ahead early and scout it out. I was like, no one else is going with you two? All right, fine.
Seems suspicious.
You are the best fighters, I guess. It's fine, but, like, oh, all right, that's weird. And then it was weird, because then Bobby got iced in the head.
Like four times.
Yeah. Freaking war.
In a row.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as we heard the shot, I'm like, icer to the face. Yeah. Why does everyone shoot icers into people's faces?
Just in the hand. Just in the hand.
What was terrible, too, was initially it said gunshot in the subtitles,
yeah.
Which, you know, it didn't take long before we realized it was an icer, but with those subtitles reading gunshot, we were like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, you can't kill Mockingbird.
You can't die.
Yeah, exactly.
You
can't
kill Mockingbird.
Spinoff starts, Hunter bringing her back to normal.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, well, no.
I was just going to say, but now with her in their custody, it looks like they're planning on torturing her much like they did Bakshi, and that is going to be Kara's closure,
yeah.
With her whole ordeal of getting, you know, brainwashed by Hydra. That's my guess.
Somebody in the chat, again, I don't have your name, was saying, like, this is going to screw up the spinoff, and, like, how can you have a spinoff when she's, like, going to be tortured and everything? The spinoff is going to be, for anybody who's not sure, first of all, they haven't officially confirmed that it's a Mockingbird Hunter spinoff.
Yeah, just that they're going to be in it.
If it is, it's going to be mid-season, much the way Agent Carter functioned this year, where we'll have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. lead up to the winter break, and then it's filled in that same time slot with whatever that spinoff would be, and then we come back into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. afterwards.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting.
So, yeah, so we'll have time for Mockingbird to go through whatever arc she'll need to before then.
Well, we are short on time. Do you guys want to say anything else about this episode before we go into news and gossip and predictions?
I thought this was a really well-done episode where, for most of it, we were upset with it and how the writing was portraying all our characters. And then at all of the twists, we're like, oh, it all makes sense now. It all, like, falls into what exactly they were trying to do. And I thought it was just a really well done and really well, like, handled episode.
Yeah, I think my favorite moment in the episode was where Sky confronts May about... You're dangerous too. And she really puts the line in the sand. Yeah. Like, look, it's all varying degrees. Like, you are a dangerous person as well. Don't judge me just because, like, my physical, like, the gifts I happen to get accidentally to be, like, a different type than yours.
I really like the moment between Sky and Cal. That it was really genuine.
Yeah.
I was expecting her to call him Dad, just like she called Jiaying Mom in this episode. I'm kind of surprised that didn't happen, but that little conversation that they had was really sweet, short, genuine, and it was just at the perfect time before he got whisked away.
Yeah, and we find out that he has to take these little concoctions. It's basically the Hyde serum. I don't know if that's the official name for it in the comics, but
it's the
stuff that turns him into Hyde.
Can I just say my favorite line of the episode, which was Hunter saying, are you really going to let Captain Ahab have a fireside chat with Sky's mom and Coulson going.
It's a weird way to put it.
That's a weird way to put it. But yeah, that was a great line.
All right, that basically wraps it up for this week's episode. And what an episode it was! Let's go into news and gossip really quick.
Yep.
So, some of you might have heard that after this weekend, after the release of Age of Ultron, Joss Whedon actually deleted his Twitter. And there's been a lot of speculation and a lot of debate as to why that happened.
If you click on his Twitter, it says Joss Whedon does not exist.
Yeah, no, it's...
And nerds everywhere cry.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. And part of it is that it seemed like there were a lot of creative differences between him and the Marvel team, who has to keep in mind the entire cinematic universe versus somebody who's just trying to tell an individual story.
Which is interesting, just because he was the guy, like, basically in charge of the Marvel Cinematic Universe up until Friday when the movie came out and his job ended.
Yeah.
He must have... The only thing I can think is that he disagreed with some of what they were saying. You need to set this up. You need to use Age of Ultron to set up these things for Phase 3. When he's just trying... He's like, no, but this is just a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a lot of... part of the other bit of speculation about why was that there was a lot of fan backlash about the movie, and a lot of people putting the Marvel faux pas of leaving Black Widow out of merchandising. I think a lot of people were putting that on him as well,
yeah.
even though he had nothing to do with that.
So no bizarre. Control,
Joss Whedon does not have time to deal with merchandise.
That was so bizarre.
Speaking of...
He doesn't
of,
even have control over the trailers.
Merchandising, where the real money from the movie is made.
Yeah. Speaking of, by the way, Clark Gregg earlier this week also... tweeted out the hashtag Where's Natasha and tweeted out the petition to get her in more. So good job, Clark Gregg.
Oh, yeah. Not just in more. She's been in, I think she's had more screen time than almost any other Avenger.
And they still don't acknowledge that she exists.
But no, she needs her own story.
She needs her own movie.
Why is
We have Scarlett Cap, we have Hulk, we have Thor, we have Iron Man.
Scarlett Johansson is a massively bankable star.
Yeah.
You don't think a spy thriller with Scarlett Johansson as your lead?
As we know, spies are not very marketable. No one's ever seen a James Bond movie.
You're right.
It's a franchise
that can't get off the ground.
You can't watch a spy movie.
Well, guys, I think that does it for news and gossip, unless you guys have any other things to bring up.
I just wanted to say today I saw Brett Dalton post a photo on Instagram of the crew on the ship one last time. On the Airbus one last time. And it was very reminiscent to me of Firefly and seeing them on their ship. Yeah, it was so nice. I was like, that'll never happen again, maybe. But yeah,
it's
really
too.
Sweet. So.
Here's hoping. All right, let's go into predictions really quick because we should have wrapped 5 minutes ago.
Rattle them off.
Okay, so war is coming. We've got a 2-hour season finale next week. Where are we all going to be at? How many things are going to explode? And how many people are we going to say goodbye to?
Oh my god, it's S.H.I.E.L.D. versus Inhumans. 2-hour.
We're getting Civil War before Civil War ever happens.
So I called that Jiang was going to die. I did not see this happening. but I also called that Jiang and Sky's relationship is going to tarnish. I don't think it might not happen this season. But
no, I think it's going to happen next week.
You think so? Because it seems like Sky is siding with everyone at Afterlife.
Yeah. So, I think as soon as she finds out the truth, that's when she's going to be like, ooh, I made a terrible mistake.
And that's where it'll end.
Yeah.
I think Sky's going to take down May. We saw a little bit of that in the preview. I think she's going to take down the S.H.I.E.L.D. team. Like, Quake is a dangerous person. Especially the elevated version of her powers that this show has given her.
Yeah.
So I have to think that she's going to, like, be just taking apart S.H.I.E.L.D. And then, but by the end, find out what happened and just wreck Afterlife. Like, that place will... That's my main prediction. Afterlife will not be standing. Mm-hmm. The entire mountain will be gone by the end of the season.
It will be a crater.
Well, who in S.H.I.E.L.D. do you think will die in this whole process?
Yeah, I think we'll have at least one major death.
I wonder if Mac will decide to come back briefly for this, just to help out and just be the next to go.
Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I would hope not. I would hope that they would not do that.
Certainly hope not. Okay. But
stop killing off your black characters, Marvel.
Yeah, exactly.
but no, I think that for sure at least on the Bobby side of things, I think she's going to escape from Ward and 33. I don't think it's going to be pretty. I think it's going to be gritty, but I think she will ultimately escape.
Great.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying Sky / Daisy is going to become one of the new Avengers.
Yeah.
I would love that.
That would make sense.
Please.
Yeah, I mean...
But they won't put a TV actor in a movie universe.
Hashtag shut up and take
my
money.
Well, they can start now.
Well, I mean, I mean, eventually Daredevil and all of those guys are going to get incorporated into Infinity War. Maybe we'll see Quake.
They're going to show up. Yeah. Let's be clear.
Oh, yeah, before they get wiped out.
They're going to be like, probably. Hey, there's Luke Cage over there. Yeah. He's like, hey, guys.
And they'll be like, hey, down there, we're flying off to save the day.
It'll be like when we first saw Vision in the movie poster for Age of Ultron. It's like, is it? And then it'll just like go away.
All right, guys, that does it for this week. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Jesse Klein, where can the people find you?
Yeah, you can find me at JessKlein1. Also, if you go on to funnierdie.com and you look up testtube/DJ Fawcett, me and Matt Lieberman have an entire 15-minute pilot that you can watch online. It's just funny sketches with our show, with our team called DJ Fawcett. You can go find it.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. You guys can find me on Twitter at @ThatZachWilson, THATZACHWILSON, and also here tomorrow night with Jesse Klein.
Oh, yeah.
And for the Daredevil panel, we'll be talking about episodes 7 and 8.
Yeah.
Cool. You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JAJOURI. And to see me do some hosting stuff, go to youtube.com/MakerJen.
Awesome. And I'm Megan. You can follow me on Twitter at @TheMenguin. That's THEMENGUIN. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, including Orphan Black and Turn, all that fun stuff. And I've also started writing articles for The Movie Chick, Chick with 2 K's. Be sure to check those out. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much to everybody who participated in the hashtag on Twitter and in the live chat on YouTube. Please do not forget about the contest for the comic book next weekend and our live chat contest next week for this adorable little Ultron. He's so cute.
You can win it.
You can. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will see you all next week.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.